Spiritual growth means to me many things. Topic for Absolute Philosopher. Spiritual growth means many things to me. What does spiritual growth mean? Well, for one thing, in the absolute sense, we don't grow. In the absolute sense, it already is. Everything is complete. But from the human sense, spiritual growth means that you become more and more aware of the divinity that you are. You become more and more aware of your reality, of where you sit on the walkway of life, of the walkway of spiritual awareness. Now, what does spiritual awareness mean that we would like to enjoy that, that we'd like to have it? A lot of people say, well, spiritual awareness, I cannot get a clue of what it means because it is so obtuse. It is so difficult to understand. Well, just think if you knew what happened on the dimension before you came here, or on the dimension you go to when you leave here. And then you think to yourself, well, gee, isn't that interesting? And then you say to yourself, what difference does it make? What difference does it make what goes on before you came here or what goes on after you came here? What difference does it make what your parents do who have passed on or what your friends do who have died or what difference does it make of the new babies that you greet who are just being born into this life experience? Where did they come from? Where are they going? Why are we here? Well, the questions of where do they come from and where are they going is any man's guess. We can all make assumptions of what it is, like the theory of relativity, like the theory of the Big Bang theory, and those are all very prominent theories that are well attended, and people think, yeah, that must be so. We could make up theories about where we came from and where we're going, but you see, that really doesn't matter. All that matters to anybody is what is happening to them right this minute. Now, they may plan for the future, or they may remember the past, but they're remembering it and they're planning it right in the present. The only place that we'll ever be is in the present. And so, when we can start recognizing that the present is all there is, then we take a whole new look at what spiritual awareness means, what spiritual growth means. Spiritual growth is no more than accepting whatever it is that you are and being it. Now, what are you? Are you the limitations of your mind? Then go for it. Are you the limitations of your body? Then go for that. Are you the limitations of your relationships where other people push you around and give you a hard time? Then go for that. Go for anything you want to go for. Now, are you being yourself and having fun, exclusive of anything else in the world? Do you create every experience that comes into your awareness? Are you a spiritual master, totally in charge of your thought, of your attitudes, of your way of thinking and doing things? Are you totally in charge? No. We'd like to be. We'd like to be very much. Because if we were totally in charge, then what would we do? We would always be thinking beautiful thoughts. Because why empower a not beautiful thought? We'd always be thinking something uplifting about ourselves and about our world. We'd always be looking for the bright side of everything. Because who wants to look for the dull side? And to do that, we would be, in fact, being very spiritual, walking our spiritual path, walking our spiritual way. But we have to make that decision for ourselves. We can look at other people's lives and say how glorious they are, how fulfilled they are. Oh, they'll come to you and say, yes, I put in a lot of midnight oil, you know. I stayed up late and studied. I stayed up late and worked. And I really built this factory or this company or this situation up. I really developed my talents so that I could be a virtuoso and so forth. Now, a very famous man who says, and now the rest of the story, had a son. And this man earned $1 million a week or something like that, you know, or more. I mean, he did very well. And his son was an accomplished pianist, musician, very excellent, very top grade. He was ready to go on to the theater role, you know. He was ready to go on and play before the big houses of all the world. And then he had an accident. I don't remember the accident details, I didn't read about them, but he had an accident which made it so he couldn't do that anymore. One minute he was able to be a master of the piano, and the next minute he could just play for his own pleasure. He could probably play quite well too for his own pleasure, but he could just play it for his own pleasure because he couldn't depend on his hands. He couldn't depend on them. And after training all these years, with his father being infinitely wealthy and supporting him in the style that he was accustomed, all of a sudden he wasn't doing it. All of a sudden he didn't have that privilege anymore. Now, he could have thought, it's all over with, I'll shoot myself, you know. But he didn't. He says, well, I'm sure there are other things I'd like to do too. And so he turned to other things and did them very well. And he's having a ball. And he's not being pushed, but yet he gets up at 5 every morning, get like his dad and mom, and his father and mother work together, and goes down to the office to work on the radio scripts and onto the things that they're doing, but they're not television, they're just radio. And he's one of the top radio commentators of the world. And of course, there are others that are paid a little more, because they are talk show people who are given very, very high salaries, but he's paid very well. Now, his son could have said, you know, it's over with. It's over with. He could have just gone bonkers, you know, and he could have said, there's nothing more for me to do. But deep in his heart, he didn't really want to be a concert pianist. He did that because he had the talent, and his parents encouraged him to go and train on that talent. And when he trained on that talent, he became exceptional. He had the best teachers you could buy. He had the best pianos you could play on. He had the best circumstances you could have. He didn't have to do anything else but practice, and then whatever else he pleased to do. But he had no other demand on him except to practice and to be that aspect of himself. And he was very good at it. Okay. Now he's working on his father's radio shows, and he's saying, and now here's the rest of the story. And he goes around writing the rest of the story on things that his father had just touched upon, stories that his father had just introduced, that he had just given a little attention to. And the father himself has such integrity that he won't take everything. He won't take every advertiser. He won't take every product and talk about it. He only talks about those that are what he really believes in, that he has tried himself, and that he believes in them. Would you say that father had spiritual growth? Oh my, he's doing just fine. Would you say the son is being awakened to his spiritual growth? Because he's working on his father's radio show, and his father's in his late 80s, his mother and father are together in the late 80s, and one day they'll have to stop. But they have a contract with the radio station for the next 10 years, and then they have six people, six companies that want to sign them up for a renewal for another 10 years. On through their hundreds. They really have expectations of them. And now, do you think, with that sort of a motivation to go on, they will do everything right? They're taking care of their health, they're taking care of everything. But you see, they're on a spiritual growth pattern, not because there's so much money. That is nice too, of course. But they're doing what they like to do. They're really doing what they like to do. The man and his wife are down at the radio station early in the morning, working on the news of the day, taking the Choice News and bringing it into their program, doing all these neat things, and it's just absolutely fantastic. But again, what are we doing? Are we doing what turns us on? Are we working here at the University of Healing, doing the proctoring of the courses and working with the students, encouraging them to follow the program that they've agreed to follow, because we know that if they follow the program, miracles will happen for them. And we know when they don't follow the program, then they get bored and they no longer want to do it. Like one of our students, she has a younger sister, and she said her younger sister is bored. And she says, that's something I could never be. I could never be bored. And she's 87 years old. She could never be bored. She drives her Jeep. She runs out here to the campus and works with us. And she's just on top of everything. But she could never be bored because she finds life exciting. She involves herself in the spiritual path in a very positive and a very wonderful way. And there's nothing that she cannot do. There's nothing that she cannot be. Oh, maybe being 87, she's not able to run races like she used to and do a few other things. But basically, her mind is very alert and her body is very capable of working with the mind that she has. Now, this is the right attitude. She keeps her nose out of other people's business. She remembers to do what is right. I had a call from a lady I had known many, many years ago in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where I had the church Andromeda. And she and her son and her family were very devoted members of the church. And when I left, we sort of lost contact. And then one day, she got a hold of a GIST. And she got on her GIST mailing list again. And she said, it's just like being in heaven again, you know, with this philosophy that she had missed because I was no longer up there. And then she said, she listened to the tape on letting go, you know, on the talk on letting go, and it really shook her up. Not because she was doing, she said, I don't need that, but I just need to be awakened to the fact of that. And then when she heard the second part of it, you know, which didn't all get on, but she heard the second part of it, what did she say? She said, wow, this is great. I must keep listening to these talks because it has always got something for me, always got something to lift up my life. And she is 76 years old herself right now. Amazing lady. Amazing lady. Now, you don't have to be old to find this. We have Tony, who is, what, 34, something like that, and he is just doing wonderful. He is taking the course on the recommendation of, again, an 84-year-old man who was our student and took all the courses, and now he's sending students to us, and he's in Las Vegas. So, you see, this is a never-ending activity, but if you love it, if you find joy in this work, stay with it. If you don't find joy in this work, go somewhere else, do something that gives you happiness, because it isn't that you have just one life to live. It's that you make every life that you live the most exciting adventure that you could ever imagine. The most thrilling encounter with being yourself and having fun that you could ever imagine. If every moment of your life is not being yourself and having fun, you better turn over those rocks and see what you're missing. Because it's there. It's there. I have a goldfish pond outside my front door. And it had been there for years, and it was just a pond. And I thought, oh, I'll throw some goldfish in there. So at a quarter apiece, I threw six goldfish in there. And there's a little pipe that sends up a little water, and a little water that comes around on a little waterfall. It's kind of a charming little operation. And but this pipe that's supposed to shoot up the water is maybe about an inch and a half, inch from the bottom. And those fish have the ability to get under that pipe in such a way that you can't see them. You just cannot see them. And they're there. So I thought, well, I'll be nice to them. And I put a piece of brick in there. And it made an arch over the edge and they could go under there, much higher than under the pipe. And they haven't gone under there yet. They haven't gone under there. They have to make their own choice. They have to make their own decision as to what they feel they want to do. Now, that pipe had running water in it, and so they felt the running water. And then there was a little pump that was down there, and they loved to lay close to that pump because the pump put off a little bit of heat, you know. And you see, being yourself and having fun doesn't necessarily mean that you're some great intellectual person. Doesn't mean that you're some great spiritual leader. It means that you're like a fish, and you find the warm spots, you find the joyous spots, and you, well, you see people coming, and you dart out. One or two of them did, and four of them just sat there and watched me as I came over, and they had absolutely no thought of anything that they must get away. And I'd reach down there, and I'd clean off the top of the little motor so that, you know, the leaves would be out of the way. And they always came and looked at my hand, you know. They had no fear. And they shouldn't, of course. But, you see, two of them created a monster coming there over the water, you know, some huge thing moving. And the four of them, they said, hey, this is the guy that dumps food in here for us every day, twice a day, morning and night, you know, breakfast and dinner. And Ellen wanted to do it last night, wasn't it, or this morning? And so I said, okay, Ellen, here it is. I put a little bit in her hand. I said, now just put it right over where they are. And so she put it over where they are. She said, how do you know if they're going to eat it? I said, I don't. I put it there. If they want it, they know that they come to the surface and eat on the surface, because that's what they do. And I'm not worried. I could say, if they didn't survive, it's only a quarter each to buy some new ones. But that's a rather cold way of looking at it. I just say, I surround them with my pure white light of love, and I see them having a joyous time in there. I was even thinking of putting a little bit of seaweed in there, you know, the kind that grows in a pond for fish. And that way they could swim among it like Ellen's fish swims among the seaweed. But that's another day. And if I did put it in there, I'd put it in little containers so that when I wanted to clean the pond, I could just lift the containers out and scoop up the fish and then clean out the pond and then put them all back in fresh water. But this is a matter of spiritual growth. Oh, it is, huh? Because it doesn't matter to me. I surround them with love, and they give me back love. Fish give you love. You know that? Yeah. Ellen can tell you about that. She has joy of the second there, looking at her and enjoying her presence. And she says, I know what you did to my predecessor. You left her be in the care of somebody else who didn't have a chance to take care of her. And so, you know, life goes on. Life goes on. But be yourself and have fun and do all the things that make your life wonderful. And remember that spiritual growth is growth on the human plane in being yourself and having fun. It is not some saintly thing where you pray to a god because the god's inside of you. It's not where you do something in the outer, because your outer is exactly what your inner is. And if your outer isn't what you like, then you start changing it by putting a new cause in motion about your, about yourself, or who you are, about your inner. And then the outer will reflect that back, and it'll be that. So if you're ready for that, then you're ready for that particular step on your spiritual path. But remember, nobody cares. Nobody cares if you goof up and knock yourself out and don't get anywhere. Nobody cares if you're a failure or a success. The only thing that people care about is if they're a success. And they care about if they're a success, because then they look around the world and what do they see?
Success.
Everyone else's success. And that's what a master does. He looks around and sees everyone else a success. I gave a seminar in Canada, 2 days for a weekend, and I was just fresh out of the Monterey week-long Master Consciousness Training Seminar, and I was just, you know, happy about it. And so when I talked to these people, I gave them the same general feeling that I gave in Monterey. And the people who attended the seminar, not all of them, but I mean many of them wrote beautiful little paragraphs back saying how it had illumined their life and opened the doors in their thinking. But you know, what they forgot to mention was that what opened the door was that they opened their eyes and they saw the door. The door was always there, ready and waiting for them, but they didn't have the eyes open enough. They were still in traditionalism. They were still in somebody else is going to do it for me. They're still in getting somebody else to do it. And many of them changed that day in very significant ways. And it's a wonderful thing when that happens. And I'm always very delighted and very thrilled. So, my beloved, topics for an absolute philosopher. And this is what we are doing with our talks in the evening. Absolute philosopher talks. So, see you next evening, about the same time, same place. And join us either here or on the internet. And tomorrow, we'll be talking about spiritual growth, be fun, and how. So, for tonight, I say I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you.